Member Week is here at Lowe's. That means it's time for My Lowe's Rewards members to save big with up to 40% off hundreds of items like appliances, tools, home essentials, and more. Plus, get free standard shipping. Shop these exclusive member-only savings now through October 15th. Not a rewards member? Join for free today. Free standard shipping not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Is the Charlie Polillo Show on ESPN 97.5
and on SportsMap 94.1.
Presented by Tri-Eagle Energy. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Charlie Polillo.
About 8 hours out from NFL opening kickoff 2018, that in Philadelphia, as the champs get the privilege, Eagles and Atlanta Falcons. A year ago, it was the reigning champion New England Patriots, and that didn't go well. They wait until Sunday this year, like most of the NFL. Texans and Patriots in Foxborough on Sunday to address that and whatever else pops into the conversation over the next 10 minutes. One of the better beat writers in the NFL, Ben Volen, who covers both the Patriots and the NFL at large for the Boston Globe. Ben, Charlie in Houston, I appreciate the time for openers. And, well, let's begin with this. J.J. Watt is back. Jadeveon Clowney is healthy. Whitney Mercilus is back. And I'm thinking they feel like wolves and look at left tackle and say, lamb chop, who gets to line up and try to beat Trent Brown?
Yeah, I would agree with you that it looks like if those guys are healthy, especially Watt, that they're going to be a handful for the Patriots' offensive line. And that's one area that I wasn't as concerned about entering the preseason, but now that training camp is over with, I am certainly concerned about it. Trent Brown has had a very good camp, and he's been an Iron Man, but he's still a guy who doesn't have a whole lot of experience at the NFL level on the left side. He is a massive human being. I think he's physically the largest person in the NFL, yeah. Listed at 6'8 and 350, 360, and he's probably pushing more than that. But on the right side, Marcus Cannon has been banged up, didn't take a snap in any preseason game. And then they had a bunch of tackles in training camp. One of them, first-round pick, Isaiah Wynn, he got hurt, tore his Achilles, and he's out for the year now. I think a big loss for the depth of the offensive line. And then everyone else, they just got injured or cut, and none of them were able to stick around. So I think the Texans absolutely are going to be a handful for the Patriots. But, you know, it's week one. It's one of those weeks that's really, I know it's a cliche, but it really is hard to kind of gauge where each team is at and where guys coming off injury are at. So it'll be very fascinating to see how some of that stuff unfolds.
I guess there's the understandable and probably rightful concept that, well, Brady will figure it out. And when Gronk is healthy, that's a heck of a start. But you look at their wide receiver depth chart going into this season. Is Brady wondering, what the hey, even by our standards, this is terrible?
It's not very deep, I'll say that. You know, Chris Hogan, he's great when he's your number three receiver. But right now he's number one. They traded away Brandon Cooks. Let Danny Amendola walk. Julian Edelman has a four-game suspension to start the season. So I think they're just trying to get by, you know, until Edelman gets back in week five or maybe week six. I think they really like Philip Dorsett, a former first-round pick for the Colts who they acquired in the trade last year. I think they envision him doing a lot of the things that Brandon Cooks did in their offense. They still do have Rob Gronkowski. They have some excellent pass-catching running backs. James White is a force out of the backfield. Rex Burkhead, when he's healthy, he's a very dynamic receiver and someone you can line up in the slot. And frankly, he can do a lot of what Edelman and Amendola do. So they definitely have some weapons in the passing game, but they're thin. If Hogan gets injured or, you know, heaven forbid, Gronk gets injured, they just don't have the depth at those weapons that they've had in the past. But they will get Edelman back eventually. And, you know, with Brady still under center, and, you know, Rob Gronkowski running down the middle, it's still a pretty good offense.
Ben, they trade away Brandon Cooks, have the two number ones double up on the Georgia guys. Isaiah Wynn, who at minimum would have been quality depth and maybe slotted right in as a starter, gone for the year. Before that happened, how would you have assessed the rookie impact between Wynn and Sony Michel, given that running back depth you just alluded to?
Yeah, I mean, Wynn was a guy drafted 23rd overall, and I don't think you draft a lineman that high to sit him his first year. So I think they had plans. They were moving, bringing him along slowly, but he could back up four of the five positions on the line, pretty much everything but center. So he was going to be a good, versatile, and important depth piece for them at minimum. Sony Michel, he's someone came into the league with known knee injury issues, and sure enough, within the first week or two of camp, he suffered some sort of reoccurrence, and he had to get his knee drained, and we didn't see him play a snap in the preseason, and I think he was limited yesterday, but I probably wouldn't count on him playing in week one, or if he does, he's not going to have much of an impact. Bill Belichick admitted that his injury kind of set him back, and he's a little bit behind in terms of how much he knows of the offense and his responsibilities as a running back. So, you know, that's an impact where you looked at the draft back in May and thought, well, a guard and a running back in the first round, they wanted players who were going to contribute right away. And unfortunately, neither of them probably will for the Patriots.
Talk with Ben Volen, Boston Globe on the Patriots and NFL beat. The Texans' offensive line is almost fully turned over. It can't be any worse than it was last year, but no one's predicting it to be a strength. The Patriots, meanwhile, they don't have a headline pass rusher. Is that just Belichick? I'll figure that out. Just get me a bunch of guys that I can rotate in there.
That's definitely Belichick's philosophy, is he thinks they can scheme up some sacks and some pass rush. And a lot of times, like when they play a guy like Watson, they're not going full bore at Watson. They're really just trying to contain him and not let him break outside the pocket. They added Adrian Claiborne from the Falcons. He had 9.5 sacks last year. Six of them did come in one game.
Right.
But he should boost the pass rush. They get Dante Hightower back from injury. He's really a pass rusher now on passing downs, and he'll help that unit a lot as well. Trey Flowers, a guy entering a contract year. His sack totals, he has 13 in 2 years, but I don't think that properly you know, portrays how good of a pass rusher he is. He's probably the number one guy. Dietrich Wise, someone who had 5 sacks as a rookie, he's coming back now in his second season. So they have bodies. Most interestingly, they hired a kung fu coach, a taekwondo coach from last year, a guy who was brought in to help the pass rushers with their hand fighting and their hand-to-hand combat. And they think that just with a little bit better coaching and guys returning from injury and maybe the addition of Claiborne, that the pass rush will be better than it was last year. And, you know, it can't be much worse. You remember that Super Bowl against the Eagles. They couldn't lay a finger on Nick Foles. So they're certainly risking that, you know, coaching and getting guys back from injury will improve that unit.
One name on the defense I wanted to ask you about, Elandon Roberts in his third season out of the University of Houston. Where would you assess he is as a player, his ceiling, his role?
That's right. You know, I actually had him as a roster bubble guy, but he made the team this year, third season. Played a lot of snaps last year. I think he played over 600 snaps once Dante Hightower went down. And, you know, he got his opportunity to be a starting linebacker, and it was okay. I think he's better more in a reserve role and on special teams, but good, valuable depth for the Patriots. Still one of their fastest linebackers, one of their biggest hitters. Definitely is a guy who can pack a wallop, and frankly is someone who's going to have to be careful about this new helmet rule. He's been singled out by a couple of opponents as being someone who leads with his head a little bit. But Roberts is still around, and he's definitely in the mix for linebackers. Right now it's kind of Hightower and Kyle Van Noy, and they drafted a kid in the fifth round, Jawan Bentley. He's probably going to be in the mix as well, but Elandon Roberts is right there. And, you know, he'll get plenty of action as the season goes along.
Patriots with 17 straight winning seasons, 9 straight AFC East titles, the last 8 seasons a minimum of 12-plus wins. If somehow all football hell breaks loose this year, Ben, and the Patriots don't win the AFC East, as inconceivable as it appears, who would you take?
In the AFC East, I would probably take Buffalo just because I like their defense the best, and I like what Sean McDermott has built over there. But I just don't see any way, frankly, that they're not going to win the AFC East. There's two rookie quarterbacks, Josh Allen in Buffalo, who's not starting right away, but you have to assume he's going to take over. And Sam Darnold with the Jets, he might, you know, it's impossible to know what he's going to do, but, you know, I'm not betting on a rookie quarterback. And then Miami looks to, who knows what they've got going down there with Tannehill coming back from an ACL, and they lost Jarvis Landry, and they lost Sue, and they're making all these moves on both sides of the ball. Like, I just don't see any way that the Patriots, even if they have more of a down year by their standards, I just don't see any way that they're not winning the AFC East.
Two last things. One, an insider's outsider perspective on the Texans. Where do you see them settling within the conference?
I think they'll be obviously much improved from their record from last year. It's all about Watson coming back healthy. You know, I'm interested to see how Watson looks early in the season, coming back from that ACL. Kind of a big unknown is how athletic he's going to be, and is he going to be skittish at all? It's one thing to do it in practice, but then it's obviously another when the Bullets are live and you're playing against all the starters and all that. So it's all going to be about Watson coming back from that ACL and improving in his second season. He was so dynamic and electric as a rookie that he's got to be one of the most three or four exciting players to watch in the league this year. And, you know, I start to wonder about the defense. Is age going to catch up to J.J. Watt a little bit and the injuries as well? And, you know, where is Clowney at right now and Merciless and those guys? But they have a good core. They look good on paper. And if Watson can come back from that ACL, that's definitely going to be a dangerous team.
Finally, for this Sunday, if I know I have to go play at Foxborough, if it's not the last game of the season and the Patriots have nothing to play for, I think this is when I want to play them. You know, the unknown of the first game, they haven't always come out of the gate gangbusters. What do you think this Sunday, 6.5 is the number, if you want to include that somewhere?
I'm taking the Texans to cover, but I'm going to take the Patriots to win. There's definitely a healthy respect for what the Texans have built up here. That game last year especially put a real scare into the Patriots, and I think the Patriots will admit they're pretty lucky to escape with a win that day. Playing the game in Gillette certainly plays in the Patriots' favor, but you know, last year, week one, the Chiefs came up here and blew the doors off the Patriots, so who knows what's going to happen in this first week. Who knows what Bill O'Brien's been cooking up for the last 6 months. Again, who knows how Deshaun Watson and his knee are going to look on Sunday. It's going to be a fascinating game. I think it's going to be close. Patriots by 3 or 4 points, but should be a good ballgame.
Ben Volen of the Boston Globe on the Patriots and the NFL beat a terrific Sunday Notes column worth a read on a weekly basis. Ben, thanks for the time and the insight. We'll look for you Sunday.
All right, thank you so much.
All right, we catch up on a break, which we are well overdue to hit, but conversation was going well, so I wasn't going to pause it. Then we'll finish off the first hour and get to Phil Steele, Thursday college football preview, two segments on all the games that matter between 12 and 12:30. A minute here for Tri-Eagle Energy, talking about your electricity bill. I presume your lights are on. That's good. But what if you're paying 20-25% more for the privilege than you need to be paying? Tri-Eagle Energy, Texas-born, serving customers 15 years now since electricity deregulation kicked in here. More than competitive rates, no gimmicks, no surprises, promises on your bills, weekly usage reports so you always know where you stand. A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, and it's as simple as pulling a recent invoice. Right? Maybe you auto-pay, you just pay the bill every month. See what you're paying per kilowatt hour and get a simple, straight-up comparison. Either Tri-Eagle is going to save you good money or they're not. So put in 5 minutes and maybe say $500, $600, $700 per year or more, depending on what you're paying now. If you already have a great rate, well, good for you. But why wouldn't you at least check? Use promo code Charlie and get an extra discount from the rate Tri-Eagle has to offer you. The toll-free number is 877-93-EAGLE, 877-93-EAGLE. Online, visit TriEagleEnergy.com. That's TriEagleEnergy.com. Call or click. Get in promo code Charlie by typing it in the box at the website or just mentioning it over the phone for your very best deal from Tri-Eagle Energy. So you're getting in, you heard it on ESPN 97.5 or Sports Map 94.1.